Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today over Zoom, I have Del Harrison with me. Hi, Del. So, Del, you were a Manhattan comic for years, and now you're in LA.
And now I'm fully in LA, which is sort of my base too. I began here too because when I first started, I used to work for the airline. So every time I would come off, I would come out here and do open mics. So I built my relationships with most of these, you know, anybody that's like seasoned out here. I met them then, you know?
Yeah. Got it. I've never been to LA. And really? I'm dying to go visit. Can you compare the comedy scenes for me? I've heard from other people some things, but I'm curious what you think, you know, Manhattan comedy versus LA, or just more of a comparison. It doesn't have to be a competitive fight between the two.
You know, out here, what I really noticed the most out here, like, you know, New York is about speed and, you know, get those punchlines in, and they're very potent. And I love New York for that, you know, punchline packed show. In LA, people are combining everything they do in their show. You know, some people are, you know, hitting the stages with the ukulele. Some people are hitting the stages together. You see more different acts out here than you see everywhere. And it's, you know, I love it because you literally are you're amongst the stars in both towns. But you're amongst the people that have set out, and they are different, and they are on these stages too. So that's what I would say I noticed the most, where I'm just like, wow, they did that in that show. You know, I've been to some shows and performed on some shows where as a comic, and I was with other comics, and we were the band. Another comic was walking the tightrope. Another comic was painting. Whereas like this, and it was a comedy show. So like there was stand up all throughout, but like, you know, you have shows like that out there, you know, out here, you know?
And I love shows like that. I had a variety show for a little bit at New York Comedy Club with a group of friends, and we love to mix it up and add some music. I think, I don't know, life's more fun when you include all the oddities and talents someone can have. Yes. I still respect Manhattan comedy. You know, you really sharpen getting those punches constantly.
Yes.
I like being in the flow and letting things be whatever they're meant to be.
Yes. Yes. Me too. And I actually have a show called Del's Juke Joint, where it's a live band and it's, you know, clean comedy with a live band. So we do music, we do comedy, people do poetry, people tell stories, people get up and tell history. I mean, it's all type of stuff at the show. So, you know, and we're doing it at like these speakeasy Black owned venues all around. So we did an art gallery, Black owned art gallery. We did a speakeasy that was just like a private door in a barbershop. You go downstairs and it's just like, you know, it bedazzles people when they get down, like, wow, all this was down here. So, you know, I'm with a variety show too, you know?
And it sounds like yours has culture in it. Like, I feel like some of these shows are so flat in a sense, like there's no life or the building's not interesting. And it sounds like you're really making it have a certain vibe and flavor that people want to go for the whole experience.
Yes, and that's really what it is building the whole experience, because the juke joints were actually made popular. Now, they began, you know, African culture, but they were really made popular on plantations and after slavery, the enslaved times, you know, would go to these unknown places where it would be a door and a kitchen, and you go to, and they would sing and dance and tell stories and poetry and all that. So we're just really furthering that tradition, you know, and keeping the speakeasy going, you know.
And what a sin that they had to hide it to express themselves and show their talents. One of my favorite art lessons to teach, because I've gone back into teaching a bit, is the Harlem Renaissance.
Yeah.
It's the time in the US where finally Black artists, musicians, you know, finally had eyes on them. You know, I mean, people were already stealing from them, like the talent and the music, but it was finally a time where some of the artists got the recognition they deserved. Yeah. And obviously, we still have to come a long way, you know, but in my opinion, but at least that time period did kind of bust open the door, which is why I love teaching the Harlem Renaissance. And the artwork's incredible. The music's incredible. So, very cool. And do you remember, what were you going to say, Del?
No, I was saying Basquiat's family, the artist Basquiat, his family is over here. One of the descendants are over here with a restaurant that they own. And I was just looking up one of the paintings recently sold for like 30 million or something like that. Like, you know, now, of course, you know, his family will, his estate will see that, but you know, he wasn't seeing that in his time, which happened to a lot of artists, you know.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's good to know that this, he his work lived on, because, you know, it's just such a amazing, you know, story.
Yeah, and I feel like I really connect to abstract art, because I appreciate very realistic art. If you have that skill set, incredible. But I like when the emotion can come through in someone's unique perspective. So, yeah, I like Basquiat. I like a lot of the Harlem Renaissance artists.
Yeah.
Jacob Lawrence is one of my favorites. I didn't know we were going to get into talking about art, but it's just so important, because through different movements in history and changes, the art is a correlation to it. It's showing directly what's going on in the time.
Yeah, that's all beauty. I think that's all art. I think that's like every bit of art, you know, in every sector of art, it's reflecting the times, you know?
Yes.
Even the, you know, rinky dink songs, you know, the kiss the girl and I liked it, you know, although that's not my style of, you know, thing, but I feel like even that is reflecting that, you know, that period, that day, you know, so.
Oh, yes. Yeah, like the boy bands era and all of those things. I want to bring up when you and I used to do Man on the Street interviews. That was such a funny time. I mean, I had so much fun. So there was a company, Parent Society, that hired us, and we would go out and do Man on the Street interviews. And it was such a Manhattan, Jersey experience, because we would just pull people right off the street and ask them. Usually it was questions like, what do you think of this particular popular name that people are naming their babies? But I had so much fun with you. You've always been funny, but kind and uplifting. And that's not always common in the comedy community. Luckily, I did meet some people who have both, but I've always just really appreciated your attitude.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Same with you. You know, that's why we connected, you know, because I think you referred me to this parent society.
Yes.
You know? So that's how I even get on there is, you know, and I just remember our intros and what'd you call my baby? You know, that.
What'd you call my baby? Yeah, that was our intro. And yeah, I had so much fun, because those can be very hard. It can be embarrassing just pulling people off the street, come talk to us. But I had such a fun time with you doing it.
Yes. Yes, it was. Great, you know.
I also love your faith, and that you are very much connected to God, the heavens. I'm curious, have you always had faith, such a strong faith? Were you raised religiously, or did you have your own journey of really connecting to it?
You know what? Both. I was raised, child, my grandma, Kate, my grandma had us in that church. And I'm talking about, we was in the church, we was cleaning the church, we was volunteering for something at church. Then we had to go drop people off from the church. Then we went back for Bible study, for vacation Bible school. Child, we was in that church. I remember one time we had been in church so much, and this time my grandma was bringing us back in the clean, and I was like 9 something years old, and I was like, I just slammed the broom down, and I was like, I hate church. It was just, you know, it was a child, and I was like, so I had been there so much, and we used to be there like for such a long period of time. But, you know, thank goodness for that upbringing, because there is a scripture in the Bible that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he would not depart from it. And I did go away from the church. And, you know, I've been Muslim. I've, you know, just seeking my own truth. And, you know, I moved to Atlanta for a bit. That introduced me to some other religion, you know, the Nubic religion, whatever they were doing down there, child, because people are starting stuff all over the place. And, but then as I grew older, I returned to it. And then, you know, you go through your bouts. I returned to it, then go away from it, you know, and then in 2019, I returned again, but this time, building a relationship, because sometimes you have this faith, but you don't know how to grow the faith. So you're immature in the religion. You know to accept Christ for like salvation, you know, that's the basics, but you don't get into like how your faith can deliver you some things, can bring you the things that you want to do, until you start growing your relationship with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Through Christ is how I grow my relationship. So now that I grow my relationship, now it's even stronger, you know, because basically the work is on ourselves. We have everything we want. It's just working on ourselves so that our mind aligns with the things that, you know, we have already been given to us, and then we can receive it because it's already there. But it's just sometimes we don't know, you know, we can't receive it, you know.
That's interesting, because a lot of the spiritual healing work I did, it was about receiving the lights from above, essentially. Mm-hmm. And like you said, doing the work so you can be in vibrational alignment,
yes,
with those things. But so many of us are steeped in fear and negative belief systems because we were taught it. It's our environment. Yes. And so many people are still, you know, stuck in that, and they'll put it right onto you. You talk to the wrong person, they will put so many fears into you that later you have to do a lot of self positive talk. Like, yes, I'm going to follow my own truth and what my heart says. It's not easy.
Kate, I hope you're still doing this work, because the thing about it too is, first of all, the fear was just this past lessons at church on Sunday. Is if he the pastor said, we are completely different people without fear. You know, once we don't have fear, if somebody was like, you know, when you're a child and somebody is bullying you and your dad comes along and says, who is doing that? And you'd be like, him right here, because you have no fear, because you know that your dad is there to protect you. Well, that is how the Lord wants us to roll. And he just mentioned how we need to drop fear of rejection and fear of man, because those two things keep the blessings. Like, it keeps God trapped inside. God is inside of us, and fear keeps him trapped inside. We can't perform because we're like, oh no, should I do this? And child, I just woke up at 3 o'clock this morning, just turned on his message again, just to re-listen to it. Then another message came up. Then I downloaded this audiobook called The Art of Letting Go, Stop Overthinking, Releasing Negative, you know, Spirals, and some other thing, you know, some other thing in the title or whatever. But I was just listening to that, because you have to be radical with your growing your highest self, you know. Hold on, let me close this window, child. I live in Hollywood, and you can catch a random argument and a random scream. Oh.
Which can be entertaining, I'm sure, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I think trust is where it's at, you know, having faith. And I still, almost every day, have to do that work. You know, I have Lyme disease, which has been a struggle, and I have a lot of limitations My body breaks, especially if I'm going in a direction that's not really in alignment. So I have to really listen. And then the guilt comes up of, oh, I set that boundary and I didn't do that because I knew it was going to hurt. But now I'm panicked. How am I going to survive? You know, and I think we're trying to get from that level of just trying to survive to being able to thrive and enjoy life and be in our bodies. Yes. So often I'm not fully in my body because it hurts or I'm uncomfortable, whether it's physically or mentally uncomfortable. And I think listening to your own soul song and going with that vibration, it's obviously the best, but it's hard.
Yes.
Because when you break away from what everyone else is doing and what you think you should be, you know, at first it's like, oh my gosh, am I messing up? Why am I not like everyone else? When everyone else is also in their unique place, but they're freaking out and trying to be what everyone else is. So I battle that fear quite often, but still try to, follow what's meant for me and not compare.
Yeah. And not because compare, they say compare despair, you know?
Yes.
And it's so true. But you know what I realized too is when you're talking about other people, I have learned to randomly release who shall not be in the environment, because we do have to walk in godly counsel. Without godly counsel, you're basically walk in hell's counsel. You're walking in hell's counsel because there's no in between. There's no gray in this. It's good or bad. It's no like, okay, good, lukewarm, bad. No, it's good or bad. Either the counsel is good or they're bad. And I have to go by how people are counseling themselves. So once you counsel yourself a certain way and I notice it, then I have to assume whether, I have to now analyze how you counsel yourself and say, would that apply to me? Because that's exactly what they're going to be telling you to do. So, once you cleanse the environment, and it's so hard to do because I'm a person that I don't like change. I like everything to be the same, but then, change has to come in order for you to live that thriving life. You have to be very protective of the messages you let in, the mind you let in. And I feel like the people you let in are in direct connection to the messages that you're having in all the time. Even if it's just, you telling somebody you want a baby, and then them taking that long, deep pause, that right there, that's a form of ungodly counsel because they don't have faith enough for whatever their thing is. And you have to be around people that are going to immediately agree, immediately be like, honey, this is for you. Listen, you're going to have your own, you have to have that environment. Otherwise, these people can't encourage you to do unintegral things. You can't have yes people. You have to have affirmative people who are going to, critique and affirm,
Right. And there are positive ways of critiquing,
yes.
even in the art room,
yes.
it's like constructive criticism.
Yes.
This is how you do it. You don't just say, I don't like it. You say, I love this, but the composition, there's a way to say things because yes, you don't want to have all the yes people around because then you're not really evolving,
Yes.
And you see a lot of famous rich people who have a ton of yes people because of the fame and the money drug. And, that's what they get, but that doesn't equate to growth. So I think I've hermited a lot in the last 7, 8 years. And Lyme disease was part of what helped, as much as it sucked, to make sure I had a lot of boundaries and wasn't interacting with people who just I want to be around people who want good things for me, who want to celebrate that. Yeah. And obviously you do too. And I think there are enough people out there to mingle with who will do that. But I had to really see who was rooting for me and who wasn't, and who I thought maybe was rooting for me. And then a couple, some time makes you go, oh, wow, they actually don't really care if I live or die. And that's Okay, but not for me to want to put my energy into. I want to put my energy into interactions that are reciprocal and healthy and positive.
Me too. And the thing is, you know what I've learned too is because I've had to make create new environments. But one of the things that I have been led to do is to make sure in creating the environment to constantly bless the person whom I've had to walk in a different direction from, to constantly speak blessings over their finances, blessings over their friendships, blessing everything that I want for myself, making
Beautiful.
certain that I constantly bless them in my mind. Every time their name comes up, even if I think of something that like offended me, just constantly being like, I let that go. You know what? I want to bless this. I want to bless it. I want to do that because it's not about, another thing the Bible says, because really the separation is the moment in the Bible where Jesus tells the rich guy to sell all and follow him. And that's really what the creating the new environment is. You're selling all to follow, for me, Jesus, to follow the highest path. And you do have to do that. You have to sell your old habits. You have to sell your old friends. You have to be willing to get rid of the things from your past self, because really it's your past self that was friends with the person. As you move on and you get, hopefully, your friends are growing with you and you all are ascending. But what I noticed too is the Father has replaced those people with like people that have enriched my life so much just from being around them, their mindset, who they are. One of my friends, honey, this is one of the richest girls I know, and it's through her surrender. She don't be out there bossing. She'd be like, I just said that the Father said, your wish is my command. And I'm talking about she lives, every time I'm at her, first of all, anytime I go to her house, it's just like, I just gathered a little bag of stuff for you, always giving something out. Then it, and I know, and then she'll be like, oh, this person just sent this to me. Literally just surrendering in who she is. She's not the hustle and bustle person. So she accepts that, and it helps me to elevate myself to not be the hustle and bustle because before I would have 100 things to do on my board. Oh, let me get, wake up at 6 a.m., going to bed at 2 a.m. because I just want to get all 25 things I wrote down there. And when we start surrendering, we might have 3 things to do, and two of them are not gonna be from your career. One is gonna be the phone call you need to make for your career. The other two is going to be one, help the lady down the hall. She needs help sending emails. Two, call your cousin back that's constantly calling you, that's just calling to check on that, the kingdom work, So, and then the Lord is like, once you do my work, I'll do the rest of your work. So,
Yeah, I think people need to be cautious about selling their souls. So many people in life, and especially the entertainment industry, they're so thirsty for fame and money that they're willing to achieve it at almost any cost. And, that cost is too great. Some people are walking around like God, goddess, universe, whatever you want to call that force, isn't watching. And I don't mean to say it threateningly. However, God's presence is powerful. And I know in my own life, when I was letting ego take over, God put me in a headlock. And at first, I hated it. And some days I still do hate it, because I'm still being guided into whatever my true purpose is. But I think kindness and having heart, I believe in non-duality. So I think you can encompass all parts of yourself, but then choose when you're holding all parts of yourself to go in the direction of kindness, community, evolution, And I think some people who are really just like cutthroat, dog eat dog, willing to do anything to get to the top, they need to be cautious. I believe in karma and and God, whatever you want to call that thing that will redirect you. You know,
Yeah.
you can get redirected in different ways, and they can be really harsh ways, unfortunately, slash fortunately. So I think the path of surrender and faith and trust is it. Once again, I haven't completely perfected this. You know, I still have freak out and I get in my head, but I try to trust that whatever I'm meant to do is for me. I don't have to panic because it's not something I can lose when it's my true path, whatever that path is.
Yes.
And, you know, but it's not easy, especially in entertainment. Same with the real world. I mean, I see a lot of people so fearful that they just want to conform and take that one path that society tells them or their parents.
Yeah.
So I know everyone faces this journey, but I think, you know, it's all about finding your heart and being in your body.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that you're so right. Once we put ego to the side, because that's really, you know, has been a huge guiding factor for a lot of my career.
Right.
It's not until I picked up, you know, I recommitted my life to Christ, where I had to put down ego, and I have to constantly put it down. It's not like, you know, I put it down back in 1972. No, it's like you got to recognize, you know, because ego tries to come again and again and again. And you just got to constantly be like, no, I'm going to just go this way. And it's, you know, because part of the thing of surrendering too is, you know, one of the things I wrote on my board, I have a board that, you know, I will go to it and I speak all of these things every morning. And it's just the things that I want and who I am before the world gets to tell me who I am. I'm already speaking who I am, and I already speak that things are already done. But it, you know, it constantly, one of the things I speak is that I'm surrendering my image, you know, so that I don't feel like when I look over here and I see this person doing this, oh, I should be doing this, because I'm saying just surrendering my image, surrendering who I look like to other people, but then also surrendering who I thought I should be in my head, because who I am right now is exactly who I should be. And it's constantly developing for the good. And then, you know, I feel like if we're able to, you know, some people, especially me living in Hollywood, honey, people are out here in tents, and I'm talking about tents. Then there's this one couple that always like pets my dogs. And one day I just saw them, like, you know, I happened to run into them like on the sidewalk, and they was like, hey, I was like, you know, what's going on with you guys? And they was like, yeah, we got a new tent. You like it? And when I tell you, they were so grateful. But then I thought about their day without the tent. You know, it had rained, and it had, you know, they told me it had soaked out. So us in these apartments and these homes, able to sustain and go to the refrigerator whenever we want to, like, we have fully been taken care of, you know, and that those are the things I have to constantly be grateful for. Like, even right now, I'm waiting to hear back from this new apartment. But every day I have to constantly remind myself, thank God for this, the apartment that I have right now. Like, it's been holding me. I've been here for 4 years. So let me not lose sight of, like, you know, Wayne Dyer calls it the striver's mentality, where you're constantly going for something. So anytime you get something, you just make a new goal. And we should have goals. We should have the things that we want. But if we just resolve to everything that we want, we are it already, then we don't have to keep thinking about, oh, one day over here, I'm a get, you know, because we are it. I am the millionaire that I see in my mind. I am the lead woman in roles that I see in my mind. It doesn't matter when it's coming. I'm already the person. So that way, when you get it, honey, you are already that person, and you will be, you know, the same person in it, because in your head, it's already happened. So
right, that's beautiful. And I think another thing that goes with it is just also honoring when a door's closed, because there have been so many times where I'm like, why didn't that opportunity happen for me? Why didn't that move forward? And that's God protecting you.
Yes.
That's a protection, and it can be really hard in the moment to
Yes.
feel that or see that, but
Yes.
that's part of the trust and the surrender is the doors will open that are for you. The universe
Yes.
does take care of you. And when you set an intention for
Yes.
healing and love and evolution for this world, because with the wars and the homelessness and just so many things not being fully healed, it's always beautiful to set an intention for healing and evolution for you and others. So I think when you set that, you also have to honor when doors are closed and trust, even though,
Yes.
trust me, it sucks sometimes for me, and I still go,
Yes.
ah, why didn't that happen? Or why isn't this happening? There's some kind of protection and higher knowledge in the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks in the moment.
Yeah. Definitely.
You're going over it in your head. You know, I was thinking about the road of the comedian is so unique in the sense that we grow in the bombs. You know, it's so super hard because
Right.
all these people are watching, but you know, you emerge this better comedian because you've learned that lesson. And you know, I don't even I feel uncomfortable even saying the word bomb, like with a show coming up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't even, but you know, it also helps me, you know, because one thing the bombs constantly teach you is to honor the present, you know. Anytime I bomb is because I've been robotic. I haven't honored the press. I've been, you know, I've been arrogant. I just knew, you know, last night's show was the bomb, so I'm going over here. You know what I mean? So just constantly honoring, you know, the present. But then, I heard this message that says that people think that, you know, they know God is in these blessings. You have a, you know, you have a killer set, honey. God is in that. But they forget that God is in those bombs too, those rejections. He's in all of that because we've got to be developed and we've got to learn and we've got to grow. And, you know, we're not going to be able to grow, you know, if everything is always good. So, you know,
Right.
he's too. And it was just, you know, the message was saying to like honor him in that moment, thank him in that moment, thank him for
Right.
the rejection, thank him for the bomb. Thank them for the experience. So, you know, but it's very hard to do. You know, you usually got to come around the next day, you know, and that's
Yeah,
what's so.
bombing as a comedian on stage is such a crazy experience. Talk about Phoenix energy rising from the ashes, you know? It's like you gotta get off that stage and convince yourself you still should be a comedian, that you're still funny. It's and then yeah, just having, especially if you bomb and you have like a longer set. If you have a shorter set and you're bombing, at least you can be like, I'll be out of here soon. If you're bombing and you have a longer set, that those moments you have to be a kind of strong that not everyone understands, because you have to also be vulnerable in that moment and acknowledge the bomb and roll with it as well. It is such an interesting life lesson.
I know. And you know what? This is what's so good about Manhattan comedy is you can find another show right after that and go like redeem yourself. Like that is something that is unique to New York. You can be like, I just bombed. Okay, who got a show on a Monday night? Yeah. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Like I've done that so many times. And so many people have done that. Like they come to my show and they be like, I need to get on, you know, because they just want to get that thing off and correct that lesson right then and there. So that's what I love about Manhattan comedy, whereas like in LA, you know, all shows are planned. It's plentiful, but very rarely are you going to be able to go drop in, you know, unless
Oh,
of course
okay.
you're a huge name, then yeah, drop in. But you know, most of these shows are scheduled with book acts. It's not a loose format like how it is in New York, where you have all these rooms, you know, people got rooms that you could
So you
just
have
go.
to sit with the bomb a little
You
longer.
gotta sit with it until your next scheduled show, which is the following Thursday, not even next Thursday, it's 2 weeks. Yeah, so.
But I respect that. And I think, you know, I've had to live that because I had to step away from comedy full time for a bit because of health reasons and a bunch of other things. And it makes you know, I've had a long time in between. If a show doesn't go that great, I can
Yes.
have a month or two of sitting with it, you know, and that's intense, but it's once again claiming my own uniqueness. This is what my body's doing. This is what my journey is right now, and I'll accept it and I'll continue to heal through it and move forward in whatever way I'm being called to. Because comedy is an artistic expression, you know? And I'm also an artist, but sometimes I'm more called to write and go to the stage. And I feel like once again, the universe knows what it takes to rejuvenate, to replenish, what environment, even just your apartment, you need to be in to have that sacred space. So I honor all of it, even though it's been an interesting journey that I never would have predicted, honestly. I'm a psychic, but I did not predict how hard my journey would be. You know, I don't know if I could have handled it. You know, sometimes if you know, oh, you're gonna hit this crazy bump here and you're gonna crash here, I'd be like, you know what? I'm just gonna never leave my house. So I wasn't supposed to know how difficult. I don't think most people aren't supposed to know how crazy the obstacles will be.
Now, if we knew, the world would be so chaotic trying to prevent those obstacles. You know, so that's why we can never know, is because first of all, we relax into the chaos. That's how we're able to deal with it. You know, if you know chaos is coming, you know, you're constantly, you know, you make it worse because you don't go into it, you know, you go into it fighting it, but like sometimes when, you know, chaos hits us, we're relaxed and we're not expecting it. So then we can take that deep breath, like, okay, now what does this mean? That, you know what I mean? So I feel like, you know, we shouldn't know. And I also feel like too, you know, we have to honor the time. I know this girl who she didn't do comedy to, well, I don't even know if she was doing comedy at the time. I know she was trying to do comedy, you know, years later or whatever. But I remember I had called her for a show and she was like, oh no, I'm sorry. I have I can't make it. I have a deadline tonight. My book is due, you know? And I remember that because I just wrote a book, you know? And I only was able to write it because I was able to put shows to the side and not be going after so many shows, you know, so I could complete it because I started writing it during the strike and I was wanting to complete it during the strike, you know, before the strike was over. So I did complete it, but then, you know, of course, I always got things I need to add to the book, you know what I mean? Like, so, but again, honoring the times, the shifts in patterns, you know, honoring that even right now, I've been working on the script for 2.5 years, you know, that has required me to like put my radio show to the side. I was hosting on this radio show. And then you know, this year I was like, we need to, because I was writing, I wrote the script with the co-host of the radio show. So I just was like, I think, you know, we're not going to be able to do the radio show because we have to decide which is going to bring us the money. Okay. Yes, I like doing the radio show, but the script is going to bring us the money. We put the radio, so we ended the radio show on, you know, the December 31st, and then we made huge strides in the script. Now we owe the script to somebody to sell it.
That's
So,
amazing.
you know, now of course, now hopefully they will buy it, but again, they were interested at the first pitch. So it's being able to honor the, you know, honor the space that you need. And make space, make room, because we're only, you know, we only have 24 hours. We're only one person. So we don't have to do everything right now. I don't have to hang up from the script and then I got a show and then I got a radio show and then I got, honey, you can't get none of those done. You have to say, okay, right now while I'm dormant, I'm gonna do this. This is what I'm gonna focus on in. And then I'm gonna go out here. And if I have a show tonight, okay, let me do that show tonight. You know what I'm saying? But you still gotta have time to live, honey. I still want a husband. I still want a baby. I still have to have those. I still have to make time for that. You know what I mean? Like, that's the most. I don't want a $1 million script and all these things and all these riches, and then I'm coming home and my house is empty. I don't want that. Like, I respect whoever respects it, but I want for myself to see my husband when I get home, and, you know, and my dogs and this. So, you know, it's all of that where you have to slow down to make time for what's important, you know?
Yeah. Prioritizing is huge.
Yeah.
You know, and I think health, happiness, and faith should be on the top because we're not robots. And some people live like they're robots. And then, like you said, their homes aren't warm. When they come home, are they really feeling that home vibration that comes with love and everything? So I think when you prioritize, it's important to make sure you're, once again, not selling your soul, which I'm going to now kind of lead to the P. Diddy thing. It was on the list. And then it's like, well, you know, and I won't get too much into it. I still don't know what the truth is. Do I think he did some weird, freaky shit? 100%. Just from all the stuff that's come out, it's like, okay, maybe some of this isn't true, but some of it sounds to me just what a lot of elite, super rich people do. It's like they want to reach those adrenaline peaks, and they do it not through faith. You know, it becomes, let me do this crazy sexual act that may or may not be illegal. Like I said, I don't know. I know that there are a lot of people in Hollywood doing some shit that God wouldn't approve of, we'll just say.
A lot of people outside of Hollywood doing some stuff.
That's true. It's crazy to me how many sex trafficking rings there are and just how common pedophilia is, and that, you know, it hasn't been stopped yet, but I think things are shifting. I'm sure. Have you heard of Ryan Garcia, the boxer?
No.
There's this, I had never heard of him, but he started putting out these tweets like that he saw some kind of Illuminati ritual. They took him and forced him to watch children be raped. And he was saying, yeah, he was kind of blowing the whistle on it, and he's still alive. I was like, oh, this guy's going to be taken out for sure. But I think there are some really sick, twisted stuff going on. And I just celebrate the people that either speak out on it or just at whatever it is, they do not join it. You know, they're like, no, it's not worth my soul. And I think I really hope the world continues to evolve where that kind of evil is just completely snuffed out. I have no patience for that, for a lot of the sick shit going on.
I think P. Diddy, though, you know, you think he did some of it, and I think he think he did some of it too, because he sold, like, as soon as it came out, he sold Revolt TV, then he sold the vodka. I'm like, brother, did they say you was guilty yet, brother? Because you sell it, like, just those two moves alone. I'm like, what person has to run and sell anything if they weren't doing anything? Like, you know, you'd be like, no, I'm fighting. And it's, and also too, now I'm not on P. Diddy's level, so I don't know what kind of counsel you have.
You're on a higher level.
Amen. The thing is, I don't know who counseled you, but I know when you're not guilty, you run to, you know, you run to social media to respond to everything else. This is the time to be like, I don't know what, this is preposterous. This is so-and-so, you know what I mean? Like, that's the time where we want to hear from you, because we could feel the truth. We could feel if you had nothing to do with it. We could feel if there's a video. But, you know, the movie.
He had an orgy tent at some of his parties. Like, people who are not even, like, coming after him legally, just kind of recounting their experience at a P. Diddy party, was like, yeah, they're different tents. And this one tent was kind of like the orgy tent.
Wow.
And, I mean, that's not illegal. You know, I have in my past I went to some places that I regret.
Yeah.
But when that's like your everyday, like you're throwing a party and that's my orgy tent, I don't think it's the healthiest way to live. I mean, even just STD wise, it's
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
everyone needs to be careful. I have honored now how sensitive my vagina is. 'Cause she's a sensitive being, and I used to not just mistreat her, but mistreat my whole body. I was a
Yes.
vegetarian for a long time, but not the kind that watched, nutrients going in. It would be like potato
Yes.
chips and a cheese sandwich on white bread. Like,
Yes.
that's not going to do it. And I think an orgy tent is not
It
necessarily the
is
healthiest
potatoes
way.
with a cheese sandwich on fiber.
And I'd be like, why do I not feel great? Because
Yes.
you ate potato chips and a cheese sandwich from the
Yes.
bodega,
Yes.
across the street.
Yes.
So,
System backed up.
I mean, to each his own. I try not to be too
Yeah,
judgmental.
and the thing is, we're going to have to keep him in prayer too, because see, when you have a lot of blessings, that honey, that's where Satan is on the prowl at. Like, that's what we're training for right now. And that's why God uses this time to develop us, so that when he does unveil to us the riches that he's already given us, that we can handle it and we do not succumb to the hell and the damnation that is constantly around. I know with me now, honey, I'm like, I'm on the A list in my mind, but probably the G list on Instagram. You know what I'm saying? Honey, I get messages from the Illuminati, I think I've gotten, maybe six or seven messages from them saying, will you join? Then I got one in my email saying it comes with this kind of money. Like, now I took it like, okay, maybe this is like a prankster, it's people pranking the jokes or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But every time I tell it to somebody, they be like, what you did? Because you sometimes you see spam on on Instagram, you assume everybody's getting the messages, but people are always shocked when I say that I've gotten, messages, and it's always the thing. And then I've run into people from specific organizations that say that they are a part of the Illuminati, and this organization is the one to join with their connections or whatever. And I thank God for my strength, and thank God that I don't have to come in, I don't have to judge you, but I know the way that Yahweh tells me to go, and it is, I'm gonna go this way, slow, like slow and safe. That's the way I'm gonna go. You know what I mean? Because slow and safe is actually like fast to the things that he has ordained for me. But the pressure, I can imagine if, somebody is out here and they don't have their rent, and they're, you know what I mean? Like, so you have all of those things, all of those factors that will lead you to another way. And the downside about taking the demonic way is, honey, Satan can never be satisfied. You can't do enough for him. If you making horrible music, then he gonna need you to touch some kids. Now he gonna need you to rape some kids. Then he gonna need you to start trafficking some kids. And then he gonna need you to recruit other people to recruit. Then you gonna have an orgy tent over here. Like, he can't be satisfied. So that's why, whereas God, he is the God of peace. Honey, you say this all you want, this all you gonna get right here. So I have to just, I have to go in the way of peace, because that, I need to sleep at night. And
Yeah, eternal damnation's not fun,
yes, no, it's not. No, it's good. Did you see that video online where they had recorded back in the day? They had made this big old hole in like Sweden, and they had
No.
put a mic down there. Ciao.
I believe in a lot of things. I don't personally believe in the Bible word for word, but I think there's a ton of truth, and I do think there's a judgment day of sorts that will come, or maybe it's already happening. It's God is real, universe, goddess, whatever anyone wants to call it, because I know I have listeners who believe in different things, right? I think, like I said, some people walking around like God doesn't exist and they're just their actions are going in the way of disconnection and evil, trust that it will catch up to you. You know, this earth plane is not as eternal as some people may think, in a sense. I think there are lots of different levels people can get to, but if you start doing evil things to kids, animals, humans, you're going to eventually feel the repercussions. And I have felt them myself when I was walking in a bad direction that I didn't know was bad. You know, it was just not my truest self. And it wasn't connected. It was a fear-like vibration. And I got recorrected. And I will also pray for everyone's evolution, including P. Diddy. I don't want him to serve as a total scapegoat, right? This is a disease here on this planet. You know, he is not, if he is guilty, the only one. You know, there are many people participating in things like that, or even in high schools and middle schools, there's bullying. People will target a student for different reasons and go after them. This bullying, you know, let me misplace my sadness, my anger kind of vibration is here. And I just, like you, will pray for people to evolve and we can learn, hopefully, how to live peacefully. Like, there might be World War III breaking out. I pray not. But there's so much corruption going on also in politics, especially in politics.
Always been in politics, you know?
Always. It's just so crazy. So I think, I hope that things continue to shift and change and that those with big hearts can be the real leaders. It doesn't even need to be like a power position. You know, I would love where everyone feels empowered and in their correct place, in a sense, you know, doing what makes them happy and not worrying if they can pay their rent or eat that day. You know, I want everyone to be in a good place, but the abuse of power is sick and I am over it, which brings me to, I'm over a lot. It brings me to, today's a full pink moon. Did you know that?
Really? No. Oh my word.
So because we've had this podcast planned for a little bit, we chose just coincidentally on a full moon, a powerful full moon. And I believe it's about letting go of toxic things, toxic vibrations, and coming more into your power. So I am happy we chose today.
Me too. And I'm so happy you told me that because I am a moon connoisseur.
Ooh.
What was on here's when it was.
Are you Googling?
Yes, I am.
I love it.
I got to look at it because, you know, because full pink moon. Oh, wait, it's April 20. Oh, today is the 23rd.
Today's the 23rd.
Okay, that means 549, 749 ET, 449. Okay, can't wait to see it. Because, honey, we have the best sighting for the moon.
Oh.
We absolutely have, like, on sunset. I really feel like that's why they call it sunset. When we're on sunset, we have the absolute best view of the moon. It looks so low. It looks like you could just, like, jump up and touch it right there. It comes so low.
Oh, I'm jealous. That's incredible.
Let me set my alarm.
I will have to come visit LA at some point, hopefully soon, and get to see you in person. I do want to say before we wrap up, did you hear about the Dubai flooding?
No.
So Dubai is known for cloud seeding, weather manipulation. It's partially why the weather is always beautiful there. I know, playing God, right? And I guess they wanted a little bit of rain or something, so they tampered with it a little bit, and they got some crazy apocalyptic-like floods. I believe it's okay now, but I thought you'd find it interesting because I think weather manipulation's dangerous, and I think, once again, God speaks through weather. The universe speaks through weather, so I think we're going to keep getting some crazy storms and just different signs for us to wake up and take care of each other and the planet better.
Y'all, I'm looking at the pictures of the flooding now.
See?
Would y'all leave the Lord alone? Lord!
Well, Dubai's this place of, like, crazy wealth. And I mean, when in the flooding, it was like the fanciest cars going under. I've never seen so many rich cars flooding in a video before. And I think once again, wealth is great if it's in an abundance-like way that's connected to your faith. But if you get wealthy and you become more dissociated and just, yeah, separated from your soul, you know, shit can go down.
Yeah. Like it just went down. Yeah, they say over there, you know, they're like Toyotas or like Benzes, you know? You know, so that's why everyone has like a Benz and this and that, you know, over there. It's one of the places that I hear about that I just never want to visit, like because of the rules that they say, you know, Dubai has. And I'm just like, no, guys, I'm gonna just take a trip around all the other places. And then just, you know, if y'all change up something, then I could go. But other than that, Dubai is just not on my list, you know.
It looks beautiful. But I, you know, when I heard about the extreme wealth and the cloud seeding, I was like, yeah, I don't know. I'm a little scared to travel outside of the U.S. for now. I'm kind of ready for shit to go down at any point. Maybe that's part of my paranoia. But I'm like, I'll stay. For me, traveling's like going to Manhattan now. I'll go to Manhattan. You know, that's my travel. And I would come see you in LA, although I would be scared, but that's okay. I would be praying the whole time on that plane. Okay, before we go, I want to bring this up as well, because I'm curious what you think. So surgeons performed the first human transplant of a genetically modified pig kidney into a human. How do you feel about that kind of stuff? You know, like testing on animals and then putting the kidney into a human, like, do you think that's pushing God's limits or his will? Or is that, I mean, it's also tricky. I'm not expecting you to have like the right answer. No. I just want to know how you feel about that.
Yeah, no, but I'm glad you asked this because I am with, like, now if you're taking, like, because people need kidneys. A lot of people need kidneys. Yes. So if people can live and they can do a pig kidney and a pig kidney is going to work in a human, then that is what science is for to me. Like, that's what y'all do. Y'all evolve it like that. But like now, you know, cloning babies and, you know, modifying the vagina and, you know, cutting off the pee, like, that's what I'm not with right there. You see what I'm saying? Because now that's God's work. But like, saving a life that God created, you know, whether, no matter what lifestyle it is, that's what, you know, that's why I feel like, yeah, let's get science involved if that can happen, you know. But, you know, if, as long as y'all using it for demonic purposes, you know, getting rid of the population, you know, I've never heard of so many, oh, let's get rid of the population, you know, it's overpopulated. Y'all, if anyone just thinks it's overpopulated, just kill yourself. And that way there's less people out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, because who are these people that think that they deserve to be here over other people deserving to be here? But you feel like it's more populated, but you feel like you need to stick around. Like, if you feel like it's populated, honey, just go home to be with the Lord. Like, that's it. You know what I'm saying? But kidneys.
Or we could do a Noah's Ark kind of situation where God takes out the people he don't want anymore.
Yeah, well,
I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying that is a way of depopulating as well.
I feel like somebody over in Dubai might have had a boat.
Oh, if we had seen a Noah's Ark like boat floating through Dubai during the floods, I'd be like, whoa. I think if I had crazy money and lived in Dubai, I would make a Noah's Ark. No.
I think if I had crazy money, I would never live in Dubai. Like, I don't even know where. I know I would have a home in LA, definitely have a home in New Orleans. Like, I'm planning that even before, you know, money or whatever. But I think I would be a world traveler. You know, I would hit it to Iceland and Norway, Alaska, you know,
Ecuador. I just feel like I'd get bit by like whatever bug is there that we don't have here and just swell up. Like, now once again, that could be some of the Jewish neuroses deep in there, but I've also had, you know, like a rough a rough time of even the air here in Philly. So, you know, I'm a little nervous.
I think it's the Philly air. The Philly air is waking up the neuroses, and I think you wouldn't have anything to worry about because
we'll see. I get all those shots they give you before you go. The last thing I want to say connected to this modified pig kidney is, as long as there's no evil animal testing, I'm really not an animal testing person. I mean, I was vegetarian for a long, long time. I feel like I don't want to say I'm a hard no against all of it, as long as the animals are really being treated kindly and they're being tested on in a way that's not hurting them. But man, I am so not into like these animals in cages and like purposely giving them, you know, wounds and rashes. I mean, it's just, I think also the way we treat animals is something people need to care about. Like if you're hurting or torturing an animal, you need to find your faith, find your heart, go to therapy, get that anger out constructively, because hurting a child or an animal, they're just so defenseless. Hurting a human adult isn't great either. But man, if you're hurting a kid or an animal.
Yeah. I think we have to definitely watch the hurt spirit, because that's really what it is. Once you hurt any one of those things in that category, you usually are a hurter person. You know what I'm saying? Like you're a person that hurts, because you certainly don't hurt an animal and then be like, kids, now that's where I draw the line. Adults, no, I don't do adult. You usually transfer that. It's a hurt spirit. It's a spirit that has hurt people. You know, unfortunately, with animal testing, you do have to euthanize some of the animals, you know, to get the kidney out. If you are euthanizing an animal,
I'd rather hang out with some cute cat or dog than some of these humans out here.
Well, I mean, that's why I got three.
Yeah.
Three dogs, because I'd be hanging out with them too. But, you know, I do, you know, again, we're killing pigs to eat anyway, because God gives us dominion. You know, I don't eat pork, but I don't shun people that eat pork, because we do have dominion over the animals. You know, one thing I do respect about the Muslim culture is how they do kill the animal. You know, they don't, you know, just shoot the animal. They come up on the back of the animal and they slice the animal's throat so that the animal is relaxed. The animal that doesn't know it's coming, you know, they pray over the animal. So that's what I do like about that culture. And I feel like that's the part we need to take from, you know, their tradition, because it's healthier that way. You know, when a person, animal sees it's about to get killed, you know, you're getting the stress from the thing. But it's also why we bless our food too, so that we can bless it all out of there. We thank the animal for its sacrifice. With testing like on kidneys and stuff like that, they are, I hope that they are euthanizing them in a way, like, you know, if they were going to the slaughterhouse to eat anyway, I hope that's when you get the kidney for testing, not like, oh, okay, I'm about to test you and then I'm just gonna kill you and then no purpose for you. I, you know, but I can't control the ways, because I don't even want the stress of, like, you can only take on but so many things, you know, and I just don't take on the stress of, you know, the animal treatment. I pray for it all. But just hearing you say that a kidney may work, when I know so many people are in need of a kidney, you know, that's where I feel like,
it's such a slippery slope, you know, everyone can have their own place on where they feel with it. And you can still be a good person and, you know, not agree on everything. And I think it's cool that you were Muslim for a while. And now I don't think it's cool that you're not. I mean, I think it's cool. You keep finding your way and exploring different beliefs and different cultures. And I think just that perspective, if everyone could adopt that, of like introducing themselves to certain things, doesn't mean you have to become that, but respecting it and understanding why certain religions feel a certain way or cultures, and then coming to your own place, but I think so many people are like in this extreme, you know, it's us versus them or something like that, and not seeing the connection in our humanity. And that's crazy to me. Like when I see the different videos and stuff of what's going on
Yeah.
in Gaza, and I see any extreme thing like kill all Jews or, you know, all Palestinians are this. It's like any totally extreme thought, I
Yeah.
can't, it is not tolerated in my system
Yeah.
because we
Yeah.
have to find the humanity and trust that we have so much more in common than we realize, even if it seems like we're
No,
so
I
different.
know. And that's, you know, because I have a lot of Jewish friends, got a lot of Palestinian friends, you know, because, you know, we're in the land where everybody dwells among everybody.
Right.
And that's why I'm praying for them all, because people have families there. You know, people literally are experiencing turmoil in the families over there in the land, you know, so because some people are extreme, they're like, oh, so what you on the side of God's? You on the side of this? Oh, so let me get this right. And I'm just like, no, I have to pray for everybody because I want everybody's family to be safe. You know what I mean? And I want there to be peace. Because when we pray for peace, we're actually praying for peace for ourselves. Whatever we're praying for other people, we're praying for it for ourselves.
Yes.
Who it's landing on, you know, it's landing on them, but it's definitely landing on us. So yeah, I'm praying for it all because the thing is, as a Black person in America, I don't even understand. First of all, I don't look at the news. Okay, I get all my news secondhand, you know? So that's a one disadvantage. Advantage to me for my spirit, though, because I don't get to see a lot of the negativity coming in. But as a person that doesn't understand, but just hears about it, I don't want to hear any of it happen. I don't want to hear, you know, Hamas blowing up this. I definitely don't want to hear these people being blocked from water. You know, I don't want to hear any of it. And, you know, and that's why I got to pray for the Lord to intercede on everybody's behalf because, you know, and hopefully everybody will emerge, you know, better and with the benefits, like not just emerging, but like, you know, we will come to a happy medium where, you know, where we see no deaths, no blow up of hospital, no nothing, you know? So,
Yeah. And you're right. What's beautiful about the US is it is that melting pot. I don't even know if that's the term. It's supposed to be like a salad bowl because we're not melting together. We're existing as individuals,
that's good. I like that.
which is beautiful. But
Yes.
I appreciate that because we know that we're in it together. Even though there are some people that live here who do go into the extreme place, like most of us have friends of all different religions, ethnicities, cultures, and we learn to love all the differences and
Yeah.
coexist.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, I'm praying for a resolution. Hopefully, out there's some kind of resolution soon because that kind of pain,
Yes.
we all feel it and it just needs to shift. So I hope our leaders and government can put whatever falsehoods aside, or, you know,
Yeah.
some of them have allegiances that are not of heart, we'll say. It's more for money or whatever. And I think we need to follow our faith and our heart in all of
Yeah.
this. So, well, thank you, Dell, so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me on. I am like, I didn't know what to expect from this show, but I had so much joy, like just sitting here having a real conversation. And, you know, anytime you want to talk again, I would love it because this was just so enriching and so pleasant.
Thank you, Dell. I feel the same way. You have such good energy. And yeah, we can talk about almost anything. You
I
know,
know.
it can go into the spiritual, and then we can get right back into like P. Diddy comedy stuff.
Yes.
Where can people find you? On Instagram, website, etc.
Yes. People can find me on Insta. Of course, find me at I am Dell Harrison on my Instagram. And please follow me. Don't just find me, follow me there. And then you can also see my special on Amazon Prime. It's called From the Mouth of a Black Woman. And you can look it up right now. And if you have an Amazon membership, it comes with it. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Dell. You're so impressive. Look at you. And following, you know, creating the projects that feel good to you, I can see, which is awesome.
Yes.
Well, thank you everybody for listening and have a great day. Bye.